as a fill-in, also known as a supply preacher, I'm often asked if I recycle old sermons. The answer is, sometimes I do, but more often, I don't. A couple of factors are at play here. Most of my gigs come in the summer, in a time when I was a pastor, I also took Sundays off. So my file is a bit patchy when it comes to these Sundays in the lectionary cycle. So most of what I offer, I've had to come up with from scratch, which I think is probably good for my mental acuity. On occasion, however, I do find something that I can rework. A colleague of mine once told me that she doubted anyone could ever reuse a sermon from the past. After all, the world changes so much, how could that message still fit the moment? Well, perhaps. But then going through my files, I came up with a sermon I preached in August of 2009, and the old adage, the more things change, the more they remain the same, came to mind. I was also reminded of the timeless nature of Scripture. 15 years ago, I commended my congregation for having endured a long summer of Old Testament lessons on the life of King David, a story that is often as steamy as a July day. I look back over this church's summer bulletins, and I can see that you spent these weeks in the same pursuit. Today, King David is laid to rest, and he is fondly remembered. The years will be kind to David. He's honored as a singer of psalms, a great king, the hope of a nation, and a defining ancestor of Jesus. Solomon's legacy will be his deep devotion to the Lord, his God-given wisdom, and his building of the first temple. The lectionary, the readings compiled on a 3-year cycle, are intended to have us touch on much of the Bible, but it does seem to edit out and condense, and often leaving out significant segments of narrative. In the case of David, and then his son Solomon, one can say that we are spared the gory details. We have skipped over many chapters that recount bloody battles of rival factions as they vie for power. And so the fragments that were offered today suggest a peaceful transition of power. In truth, Solomon will prove as fierce a warrior as his father, and his path to the throne is not pretty. In 2009, the words peaceful transition of power hardly carried the same weight as they might today. Peaceful transfer of power has long been a hallmark of our nation's history, even when things got very heated on the campaign battlefield. With the memory of January 6, 2021 still fresh, we pray that this legacy of peaceful transition will continue. Solomon has all the accoutrements of prosperity and of power. Jesus' Sermon on the Mount fondly remembers that Solomon had the finest of robes. And yet this ruler wants something more. What he really wants is deeper wisdom. He asks God to make him wise. This gift of wisdom will enable him to be discerning about what is right and do what is right. Solomon seems to have this amazing quality, especially when at a young age he realizes it's not easy to know what's right. It's not easy to do what is right. So he demonstrates this gift for leadership as he acknowledges that making good choices will be the most demanding thing he will ever have to do. The word discernment has become very popular among church folks. Discernment practices are engaged in by many faith communities, especially when they're facing a difficult period in their life. They have divisive decisions pending, or maybe there's a change of leadership looming. In Scripture, wisdom and discernment are set side by side. We often identify a wise person as having signs of age, maybe a furrowed brow and gray hair. This process of discernment, this embodiment of wisdom, can be seen, often leaving a mark, taking a toll. How often will we say of a difficult decision that it's gut-wrenching? God-guided discernment is not casual prayer at the outset of a meeting. With discernment, there's a giving over of our hearts and our minds and our bodies to this quest for what is right. God's help is sought to help us know when to speak and when to listen. It's God helping us to hear each other. It is God that we seek to comfort us when our stomachs turn and when sleep eludes, or when we feel as if our shoulders are laden. Discernment requires calm, it requires patience, a willingness to invest energy and time. God-guided discernment is an expression of faith and of trust. Spared the lengthy reports of Solomon's violent conquest, we're left with this telling of his peaceful pursuit of wise discernment. The world at first received John's gospel, that the surrounding community was living through a time of horrific strife. And so they knew that every time they would sit down to break bread and pass the cup, they needed to feel that Jesus was nourishing them with a way of life and with a vision of eternity and a vision of peace. Having spent these summer months to learn of King David and his son Solomon, I wondered how this lesson in history might inform a fresh perspective on our own time. All that we see and hear about the exploits of our leaders, both in government and in business, seem to provide an interesting backdrop against which to read this ancient yet timeless story. David seems to embody some of the same human qualities of his modern counterparts. David sets out with the best aims, but then he falls victim to his own swollen head and his unbridled desires. The difference between what we see of late and the biblical model is that David will always own up to his sins. He will say that he's sorry for his deeds, and he repents. The prophet Nathan will always have David's ear, helping David receive wise counsel and return to a righteous life. Now, when we come to what is the final chapter in David's saga, and we know with that will come change, we'll also see challenges. What is God telling us today, as we learn about Solomon and his gift of wisdom, his ability to discern what is right, and how that becomes most important to him? What lessons can we take away as we try to navigate through our own increasingly tumultuous season of change? Political rancor is nothing new. Today, I'm afraid we have a feeding frenzy on conspiracy theories and fanatical language that's filled many to the brim. Too many of our fellow citizens are hurling angry shouts at each other, drowning each other out, failing to listen with any measure of respect. Meanwhile, if we can't hear, if we can't listen, the hard choices that we have to make will fail to be guided by any measure of wisdom without which we cannot achieve our rightful purpose. In this word we need in this time when our nation continues to pray for a peaceful transition of power. The community first heard this gospel lived through such an uneasy time. But when they came together, they knew they had to feed on the good bread. They had to feed on Christ's presence, his body, his blood, always strengthening them to face the challenges that lie ahead. Amen.